A census taker once tried to test me. I ate his liver with some fava beans and a nice glass of Chianti. Anyway, so if you've enjoyed my presentation, I really hope you'll be able to help fund my company, and thank you very much for your attention. Hello, 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 and welcome to this edition of the Jolly Business Heretic. Now, today I would like to talk about the issue of psychopathic personality, and specifically why it is that psychopathic personality is so strongly overrepresented among senior business people, why it is that, in general, a successful business benefits from people that have a certain degree of psychopathic personality, and what can be done to ensure that people that are full-on psychopaths don't simply take over and ruin a business, because research indicates that that is what tends to happen. If a psychopath takes over a business, then it will be bad working conditions and everything will go wrong. Now, about 1% of the population of Western countries are diagnosable psychopaths, are actual full-on psychopaths. They have all of the psychopathic traits. There is a checklist of psychopathic traits, which I will look at in a minute. This compares to 1% of people who are in junior roles in businesses, but 3.5% of people who are in senior roles in businesses. So 3.5% of people that are in senior business roles have the full gamut of psychopathic personality. This rises to 13% among CEOs, among people that are in charge of companies, and 20% among the leading CEOs in America. So that is one in five. One in five leading CEOs are diagnosably psychopathic. Now, what is this psychopathic personality? What does it involve? Well, there is a checklist of approximately 11 components of psychopathic personality. And obviously, if you have all 11 of those, you are absolute psychopath. If you have about 7 or something like that, you are what's called a subclinical psychopath. And it is subclinical psychopathology, or rather what we might call specific positive aspects of subclinical psychopathology, which can be useful in terms of producing a successful business. If you employ a small but optimum number of people that have traits like this, that are subclinically psychopathic in these on certain positive measures, then this can actually be good for producing a successful business. But if you employ people that have the wrong psychopathic measures or have all of them, then of course you can be in very serious trouble. Now, what are these? Now, the psychopathic checklist has been developed by somebody called Robert D. Hare, and originally it's drawn out of research by somebody called Checkley in 1941 and his very famous book, The Mask of Sanity. Psychopaths have the following traits. One, they have superficial charm. So they will be very, very superficially charming and superficially amiable. Now, this, of course, can be good in terms of business, because a person that is charming can persuade people, he can induce people to part with their money, he can induce people to invest in him, he has a sense of confidence, he has a sense of allure, and he can persuade people in a business situation to take on whatever proposal he's putting forth. So, of course, you can see how people that are high in superficial charm are going to do well in business. The second is a grandiose sense of self-worth. So people that are psychopaths have incredibly high self-confidence. They ooze self-confidence. Now, this can be attractive. From the perspective of evolutionary psychology, we are evolved as a pack animal to follow the leader. And if a person comes across as extremely confident, then there is a tendency, there is a sort of magnetism to that confidence. And you will tend to follow a person who is confident. You will tend to want to give positions of authority to a person who is confident. You will tend to be persuaded by a person who is confident. He will have like an infectious confidence and will make you feel confident in him. So again, you can see how a confident person is who can present things in a confident way is going to be good for business and is going to rise up in the business hierarchy. The third is there is a constant need for stimulation. So people that are psychopathic are in a sense never at rest. They are always looking for the next thing to do. They are always wanting to work. And this can mean, if they are motivated to do so, they can be extremely hard working. They can be extremely assiduous. They can be if they feel it's in their interest to be so, because they need constant stimulation. They're almost like children. They can't just settle down and absorb themselves. I think they constantly need to be stimulated and on the go. Now, this can be useful, particularly in the modern business world, in the stereotype of the New York office or whatever, where there's a constant movement, constant change, constant reaction to events, the stock market, whatever. A person who is a psychopath thrives on that. He likes that kind of uncertainty. The fourth issue is simply pathological lying. So psychopaths will just say whatever they feel will help them to attain social status, because that's what they're really after. They have a grandiose sense of self-worth. Remember, they like status, so they will just lie pathologically. Then you have conning. People that are psychopaths will tend to con other people. You'll have the use of aliases. You'll have presenting themselves differently to different people at different times in order to achieve their own interests. So they are liars. They are dishonest people, manipulative people. They tend to have a very low level of emotional response, a very low level of empathy. So they don't feel, whereas most people feel the feelings of other people, and the feelings of other people can strongly affect and impact them. That is not the case with psychopaths. They are low in empathy. They are low in understanding the feelings of other people. And as long as they are reasonably intelligent, intelligence is about solving cognitive problems and solving them quickly, and it can be measured by IQ tests. As long as they're high in intelligence, then they can learn. They can learn as they get older what other people's responses are and how to manipulate other people, even though they don't implicitly feel the feelings other people feel. So it becomes like learnt behaviour. They tend towards a parasitic lifestyle, so they will often not want to actually do a great deal of work themselves. They will be perfectly happy to just sponge off other people and be parasites off other people. They will happily, for example, take credit for other people's work. They will let those beneath them do everything, and then they will take all the credit. Their parasitic lifestyle. They have poor impulse control, and so that means that at certain points they can be prone to lose their tempers. They have poor control of their emotions, poor emotional regulation. They can be prone to outbursts of sort of narcissistic rage. Narcissism crosses over with psychopathology. And so this is another. They will tend to be very, very promiscuous in terms of sex, and they will not tend to have long-term relationships. Long-term relationships involve bonding, and the psychopath creates only very weak social bonds. Long-term relationships involve getting on with people at a very deep level. And remember that the psychopath only has superficial charm. So if you don't know him very well, then he'll seem wonderful and a fantastic catch. But if you get to know him well, then he'll seem appalling, and you'll be sucked in by him, and you'll want to get rid of him. He'll sort of leech off you emotionally and financially even, and suck you dry. And also, he won't particularly care about other people. He'll only be interested in sex and whatever. And so consequently, they don't tend to have long-term relationships. And in the extreme cases, psychopaths do not tend to have relationships that last longer than about a year. So they have a series of relationships. This is consistent, by the way, with them being, an issue I'll look at in a minute, with them simply being high in testosterone. They will tend to have no long-term goals. This is another aspect of the pure psychopath. No long-term goals, simply meander through life, sponging off other people. And they will also tend to have antisocial personality disorder diagnosed in childhood. So the evidence of psychopathology will start young, at a relatively young age. So there'll be behaviour problems in childhood as well. Now, if a person has all of those traits, then a person is diagnosably psychopathic. Now, someone like Ted Bundy, the American serial killer, had basically all of those traits. People who do well in the business world can have most of those traits. They won't tend to have no long-term goals, for example. And those that can be useful in the business world will tend to have some of those traits. Now, if we look at how the psychopath can develop in an evolutionary sense, the promiscuous sex issue is a clue to what's going on. We all of us, in terms of live on a continuum from what's called an R strategy to a K strategy. An R strategy is an adaptation to a fast to an unstable but relatively easy ecology. In that kind of ecology, your basic needs are met. You know, the food's there on the trees in the jungle, but you can be wiped out at any minute by animals or by epidemics or whatever. And so consequently, you are evolved to live fast and die young. This means that you put most of your energy into sex. You have sex with as many fit, genetically fit people, young women, for example, as possible, in the hope that some of your genes will be passed on. You don't tend to create strong social bonds in that environment because other people could be wiped out at any moment. There's basically no history, no future. And so consequently, strong bonds do not tend to be created. You don't need to create strong groups to survive in that environment. You can survive as a singleton. And so strong groups don't tend to be created. And so a strong sense of empathy does not tend to develop in that kind of environment. And you are literally adapted to an environment of chaos, to an environment of constant stimulation, to an environment of a low level of bonding, and whatever. And that is the kind of environment to which the psychopath is adapted. As you move away from that kind of environment to an environment which is more stable and more harsh, then this selects against that, because if you simply invest all your energy in sex and don't nurture your children at all, then they could all just die because it's too cold and there's not enough food. And so consequently, you move energy away from sex and towards nurture. You have a smaller number of children with a smaller number of partners with less sex, and you nurture those children so that they are adapted to the environment. In that kind of environment, cooperation pays off because people won't get just wiped out at any moment, and therefore you'll see them again in the future. And so this develops stronger social bonds. If you're in a group in that kind of environment, you're more likely to survive than as an individual. And so consequently, you've got to work together. This creates stronger social bonds. And so this selects out psychopathology. So people who are psychopaths are evolved to this more fast life history strategy ecology. If we look at the causes of psychopathology, about half of it is to do with genetic factors. It's simply that there is genetic, people who are Europeans are evolved to a relatively K ecology, a relatively slow life history strategy ecology, but there's variance within the population. And so it's perfectly logical that you're going to get 1% of the population that are psychopathic, and it will stay in the population because, as I will look at in a minute, there are positive signs to having an optimum but small percentage of the population that are psychopathic. There are positive dimensions to this, which we will look at shortly. And the second dimension to it is environmental. So if the brain develops maladaptively because of a suboptimal environment, then you are more likely to be psychopathic. This is in particular profound trauma, abuse, things like this at an early age, a very unstable environment at an early age, the father abandoning the family, being physically or sexually abused, these kinds of things at a very early age. And this sets you up to be a fast life history strategist. This tells the developing brain that life is unstable and life is dangerous and you could be wiped out at any minute. And so this militates in favour of developing psychopathic traits. So that is how the psychopath develops. And if also, another issue is simply testosterone. So in this, testosterone is about drive. People that are high in testosterone have high levels of drive. They have high levels of low levels of impulse control. They have low levels of empathy. They have kind of high autistic traits. There's evidence from this research by Simon Baron Cohen. He argues that the extreme male brain is basically autistic. It is low in empathy. It is high in systematizing and coldly calculating, i.e. a psychopathic trait, and people that are autistic are high in physical manifestations of being of testosterone. They tend to be highly masculine and in their appearance and things like this. And so what you're dealing with the psychopath in some ways is the extreme male brain, the high testosterone brain, which means very, very driven, very, very status driven, driven towards competition, fighting, violence, chaos, adapted to chaos, attracted to chaos, enjoying chaos, because that is what you are attracted to. And there's a degree to which the high-powered business world is this kind of highly stimulating, hierarchical, status-driven, testosterone-fueled sort of environment. So that's the psychopathic personality. Now, these traits, of course, can allow you to rise up in the business world. As I said, if you are high in superficial charm, of course, you're going to be able to charm people and get what you want. If you have very, very high self-esteem, then you're going to have this incredible sense of confidence. And also, if you have a brilliant idea for a new business venture or whatever, you're going to go with it. And also, in the business world, there's lots of knockbacks, lots of things pretending, that's crap, lots of losing out, losing money, whatever. If you have high self-esteem, you're going to bounce back easily from that and keep going. You're not going to give up. You're never going to give up. Someone like Donald Trump, he never gives up. He doesn't give up. he gets knocked back, he loses lots of money, he dusts himself off, and he gets up again because he's confident in his own abilities. He has high self-esteem. Constant need for stimulation, as I said, this militates in favour of the cut and thrust level of the business world. You're going to enjoy business, you're going to be attracted to business. If you have high self-esteem as well, you're going to be attracted to high status professions. You're going to believe that you're an important person, that you're worthy of, you deserve having lots of money, you deserve having lots of success, you deserve all this, and so you will tend to be attracted to high status professions, not just business, but also politics and law and anything else. You will gravitate towards high status, towards things that will give you the high status that you believe you deserve because you're brilliant and you're important and you're perfect. Pathological lying, of course, will mean that you can manipulate your way to the top more easily. You can persuade people. You can tell people you can tell you're a snake oil salesman. You can tell people whatever it is they want to hear in order to assist getting to the top. You will do well in interviews. You will tell people whatever you want to hear, whatever they want to hear. You will manipulate other people to move up to the hierarchy. You will destroy your competitors through lying and whatever. And so you can see how this will help you to get to the top. Conning. This is, again, you can see how this would manipulate. It's, again, just a very specific example of lying. No emotional response. When you'll be cold and calculating, you won't be taken in by the emotions of other people. You will happily use other people and exploit other people to get your way to the top of the business world or the political world or whatever it happens to be. Parasitic, that means that you will take advantage of other people. You will take advantage of their achievements and you will pass them on with your own. And this will help you to get to the top of the business world. Poor impulse control will mean that in certain instances you will get angry with people and furious with people and intimidate people and people will be frightened of you. And this will mean that for a period of time at least they will do what you want and this will help you to get to the top. Promiscuous sex, I think that would necessarily help you, but it would mean that you would be unencumbered by long-term relationships and the energy that that would involve. So you could put that into your career, but also it would simply be a manifestation of an underlying broader trait, which is high testosterone levels, which means drive, which means energy, which means status seeking and whatever. The no long-term goals thing, that would be an aspect of psychopathology that you wouldn't expect to find among these people, but that could be overwhelmed by the other aspects. So that's why you can see why they would get to the top. But of course, the problem is that with these psychopaths is that they would be found out eventually. A good example of someone like this recently is Elizabeth Holmes. Elizabeth Holmes has set up Theranos, which was this company, and the idea was that through the tiny little machine, they could prick your blood, they could take a blood sample and in real time using the internet. Work out exactly what medical attention you needed and put it into you, basically, and therefore you wouldn't need to go to the doctor. Now, this was a brilliant idea in theory. It absolutely didn't work in practice. But Elizabeth Theranos managed to... she was the daughter of a CEO anyway, so she had lots of contacts, lots of high-level contacts, and she was able to build up this company. And also she was a woman, and a young woman as well, in the 20s, or 30s, and so she was able to... there was this politically correct idea that people kind of wanted there to be a very senior female business person who was highly original. And so people... Joe Biden met her, and people put a lot of... The Clintons, people put a lot of faith in her, and she was able to build up this company based around lies, basically. It simply wasn't able to do what it suggested it was able to do. It wasn't able to do it. Falsified all kinds of stuff, and then she used a process of intimidation, of real psychopathic behaviour in order to rule by fear this company that was working on this snake oil, basically. It didn't work. And eventually it was revealed that it didn't work. She created enough enemies, and psychopaths may well create certain enemies that will stand up to them, often who will be psychopathic themselves. And consequently, it was undone, and it fell apart. And now she's awaiting trial for multi-million-dollar fraud. So Elizabeth Holmes has all of the aspects, many of the aspects of a psychopath. She has all of the positive ones, such as the need for stimulation, the self-confidence, which means that she was prepared to go ahead with this because she was so certain she was right, and the conning. So one of the things that was noticed about Elizabeth Holmes was that she would alter her voice in order to have a deeper voice because she thought it was more convincing to have a deeper voice. She thought people would take her more seriously if she had a more masculine voice. She would let other people do all of the work. She seemed to have very poor impulse control and get very angry with people. She had most of the negative aspects of psychopathic personality as well as the positive aspects. This meant that she ran a company where people couldn't voice their opinions. She ran a company which was totally dominated by her and her husband, and therefore people didn't feel valued and didn't feel that their work was valued. People didn't feel they could speak out. She ran a situation where anyone that did speak out against her, anybody at the financial level or whatever, anybody that was doing any of the administration that dared to speak out was to be sacked. And so she surrounded herself with yes men, so nobody spoke out. And so she was able to live in this bubble until this bubble was finally burst and fell apart. So she would be an example of what can happen if a person that is too high in psychopathic traits takes over a company. And you can expect this to happen in the business world. People like that will get far, as we've already seen, 20% of senior CEOs, and they will run companies that are appalling to work for, where people live in fear and that are less productive, and where things go wrong because people who are lower down the chain of command, financial accountants, whatever, daren't speak out when there are problems. They daren't say, "Look, mein Führer, there is a problem here," because they fear for their jobs. So a person that has, however, some psychopathic traits, or has all the psychopathic traits but only to a weaker degree, so then what we call subclinically psychopathic, those people can be very useful. Now, this is clear in terms of genius, in terms of the kind of people that come up with brilliant ideas, brilliant original ideas of the kind that are going to make money. If we look at the nature of the genius tends to combine outlier high intelligence. So this is important because if you have psychopathic traits and your intelligence isn't sufficient to overwhelm these, then the negative side of that is going to be that you're not going to see the wood for the trees. You're going to be blinkered. You're not going to understand what's going on. There's going to be problems. And I think that's what you have with Elizabeth Holmes. She had very high psychopathic personality traits, and she had very high intelligence, but her intelligence wasn't sufficient in its relationship with the psychopathic personality traits, for the optimum sort of genius type personality to manifest. She was too psychopathic in relation to her level of intelligence. Now you get other people that are too intelligent in relation to the level of psychopathology, and they're just highly intelligent people that like playing cards and card games and nerdish type things. But if you combine these aspects of psychopath, optimum relatively high level of psychopathology with outlier high intelligence, that's what genius is. So geniuses tend to combine outlier high intelligence with moderately low conscientiousness, which is impulse control, and agreeableness, moderately low agreeableness being altruism and empathy. Now what this means is that they are intelligent enough to come up with an absolutely brilliant idea. And being low in conscientiousness, low in impulse control, like a psychopath, they can think outside the box. They're not rule governed. They can make sort of creative connections, and so this helps them to come up with original idea. And then the being low in agreeableness, like a psychopath, means that they either, if you come up with an original idea and you rock the boat, there are people that have vested interests in the status quo, and so you're going to offend and upset those people. Now, if you are low in altruism, then you won't care about that. In fact, you might quite enjoy the chaos and upset that you're going to create by having this original brilliant breakthrough, and rocking the boat and annoying the people that are in positions of power. And if you are low in empathy, then you won't be able to understand that you would offend against vested interests, even if you didn't want to. You would, in a sense, be high in certain autistic traits, because that's what autistics are. They're low in empathy. They don't understand the feelings of other people. And this is why this combination, therefore, of outlier high intelligence plus these traits is the genius, because the genius will come up with the original idea, and will be happy to go and present it publicly and rock the boat, because he doesn't care about the feelings of others, or he can't comprehend the feelings of others. So that's the genius. And so the genius will therefore, in that sense, be very high IQ plus moderately high, optimally high in psychopathic traits. That and therefore will have brilliant ideas, which will make money, which and that's what a lot of the spinning jenny, the breakthroughs, the industrial revolution, whatever. Now, there's a very interesting paper by Felix Post, in which he shows that 2% of science, of a sample of eminent people, 2% of scientists, 14% of thinkers, 20% of writers, 25% of artists were subclinically psychopathic, i.e. they had more than half of these psychopathic traits. But when you look at world famous people in these categories, like the really mega successful people in these categories, then it becomes 17.5% of scientists are not just subclinically, but highly psychopathic, 30% of composers, 17% of politicians, 37% of artists, 26% of thinkers, and 46% of very eminent writers are highly psychopathic. For example, 33% of these people had numerous sexual partners, high levels of sexual promiscuity. Now, why is that? It's because having outlier high intelligence plus psychopathic traits means you are highly original, highly creative, and so you come up with ideas, which means that you will make huge amounts of money and whatever, and you will be highly, highly original, and you will take risks, and you will be brilliant in terms of business if that's your chosen area. And so there is a benefit to people who are highly, highly intelligent plus psychopathic traits in terms, and therefore you can see that it's a positive. So the negative is that they are high in psychopathology, but their intelligence is not sufficient to overwhelm the negative dimensions of psychopathology, because what intelligence, which is associated with, is empathy. People that are intelligent are better able to work out the feelings of others. It's associated with being pro-social. People that are intelligent will be pro-social. It's associated with a degree of conformism. It's associated with various socially positive things. And also it's associated, more importantly, with a certain degree of humility, because if you're highly intelligent, then you can reason through all of the various ideas you're having, and you can reason what's going to happen, and you can work out what the future's going to be, and therefore you're less likely to make mistakes, basically. You're less likely to cock up. You're less likely to... it's less likely that problems will be caused. You're less likely to make mistakes. And so if you can combine very high intelligence with psychopathic traits, you can do brilliant, brilliant things. And that's what these geniuses do. Very high intelligence, psychopathic traits equals brilliance. Reasonably high intelligence, psychopathic traits equals Elizabeth Holmes, or too psychopathic, or whatever the relationship is, equals Elizabeth Holmes, equals cock-ups, equals collapse, equals not achieving anything, equals chaos. So what a company needs is people that combine certain psychopathic traits, which are good for business, basically, with very high intelligence. And so if a person was planning a business, what you would want to know, personality tests could be administered to see how psychopathic they were, and intelligence tests could also be administered, and the two could be sort of compared together. But that is what is wanted. Too psychopathic, problem. Now, how can you work out if somebody is too psychopathic? Well, we're talking there about really... if they're being employed by you, the negative dimensions of psychopathology. So this is things like, how do they treat the rank and file? These people are interested in status, in achievement, and therefore they're going to charm and be nice to the people that are above them. They're going to, brown nose people above them. But how do they treat the rank and file? How do they treat the cleaner? How do they treat that? And you'd expect the person that had the negative dimensions of psychopathology to treat such people with contempt. So it's worth asking the people that are the rank and file how this person treats them, because that would imply they have the negative dimensions of psychopathology. Do they lie? Again, a person who is the genius will not necessarily lie. He will be high in autism, which means he will be obsessed with the truth and obsessed with systematizing, and they won't tend to lie. They'll tend to be actually quite honest. So do they lie? Cross-check what they say to you with what they've said to other employers and other people, because they may have said completely contradictory things. And so that's worth knowing about. They'll say anything. And also with their personal lives. Have they reached the age of 35 and still unmarried and seem to have, a series of relationships, things like this? Are they known to have affairs and be womanizers? This would be, again, evidence of the negative dimensions of psychopathic personality. So these are things things that are worth bearing in mind. But overall, we can understand why it is that psychopaths are high in business. And overall, it is a bad thing if you are running a business to have lots of psychopaths. It's a bad thing for a business to be run by a psychopath. But if that psychopath combines psychopathology with very, very high intelligence, then you would expect him to be able to accomplish absolutely brilliant things, indeed genius things, because there is a positive dimension in terms of achievement to an optimum level of psychopathology when combined with high IQ. And of course, low IQ plus psychopathology, that's where you just get criminals. And around half of people in American prisons are low IQ psychopaths. High IQ, but with the optimum level of psychopathology, then you get brilliance. Okay, I hope this is a bit of interest, and Jean Cuillet, and thank you very much.